Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob drove down to the railroad station this morning to meet the 9-5 coming in from Monroe. Ex-Chief of Police Henderson is on that train, and the telegram that he sent to Bob last night saying that he was coming would seem to indicate that he has vital information to give Betty and Bob regarding his resignation. Betty and Bob, as editors and publishers of Monroe's crusading newspaper, The Trumpet, worked with and very frequently came into conflict with Henderson when he was Chief of Police. But Betty and Bob both have the highest regard for Henderson's integrity and courage. It was he who saved Betty's life when Alan Bishop, the gangster overlord, was about to kill her. Why did Henderson resign? Why? This is the question that Bob has been mulling over in his mind as he waits with Betty on the station platform.
Why? Why? Why?
Why what, honey?
Oh, you know what. Why did Henderson resign? He's still a comparatively young man, Betty. He was competent at his job. Why did he...
The train will be in a few minutes, and then we'll find out why.
I suppose you're not curious.
Certainly I am, dear. I just happen to have a little bit more self-control than you do.
Betty.
Now what?
Betty, if what Henderson tells us is really important stuff, is solid proof that there's still a big job to be done to clean up Monroe, to make it...
You want to go right back and start a Trumpet investigation.
Exactly.
Well, you're going to stay exactly where you are. Right here in the country where you can rest and become completely well again.
Completely well again?
Yes.
I am completely well. Take a look at my color.
Well, you are beginning to get a nice tan.
There you are.
A couple more months out in the sun and air and think how much nicer it will be.
What do you want to do? Break my spirit?
Oh.
I tell you, I'm a healthy man. What do I have to do to prove to you that I'm perfectly all right?
Bob.
Want to feel my muscles?
You're ridiculous.
No, I'm not, Betty. This is a cockeyed world with most everybody doing the wrong thing. And because I want to get back in harness and do some good, you call me ridiculous.
Darling.
Say, that train's late.
Just to spite you.
I wonder how they got Henderson to resign.
In just a couple of minutes, you'll know.
They couldn't have had anything on him.
Maybe he wanted to resign.
You mean he's going away on a long trip and he's coming to kiss us goodbye?
Well, why not?
Why not? Henderson wouldn't know what to do with a vacation, darling. All he could ever think of was his job. That's all he was ever interested in. Henderson want to resign. That's a laugh. Say, do you think there could have been a wreck up the road or something?
Oh, aren't you the gruesome one? Come on, sit down and be patient.
Always asking me to sit down, darling. I tell you, my legs are all right. That operation was even more of a miracle than Dr. Chapman thought it was. And not being able to use my legs for a couple of months, just giving them a long rest, well, now they're better than ever.
Well, that's a cheerful way of looking at it.
I tell you, my legs... Do you want to see them?
Oh, right here in public?
Well, the way you treat me, you'd think I was one of the twins or something.
The way you behave sometimes, you make me think I had triplets.
Joke.
Nobody asked you to laugh. Bob.
Yes?
Be sweet.
I'm always sweet.
Always?
Well, until you get me mad.
Oh.
Until you get me mad pretending that you're indifferent to Henderson's wire last night and is coming here today.
No, I'm not indifferent. I'm just as excited about it as you are. Now, will you be sweet?
I don't like the word.
Sweet?
It's not manly.
Well, then be a darling.
Well, that's a little better. There, I can see the smoke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. There she comes.
Bob.
Still a couple of minutes away.
Bob, don't you think Chet Andrews is a darling?
A darling?
What's the matter? You want me to use the word exclusively for you?
Oh, yes. Chet's a nice fellow, and I only hope that...
What I hope?
Yes. That he's fallen head over heels in love with Claire.
And telling him the story of Claire and Hal, of her memory of Hal, dearer to her than any living thing, of the baby that's coming. Well, somehow or other, at least so it seemed to me, it made Chet fall in love with her all the more.
Funny how sure we both are that Chet will make her happy. After all, we've only known the boy a few days.
Well, sometimes you're with people for years and you don't really know them. Until some situation comes about that completely reveals their character.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it so happens that we met Chet at a time and in a situation where his character was completely revealed to us.
Yes. The way he tried single-handed to stop that mob from lynching Rusak.
He certainly didn't know anybody else was there to be on his side.
Courage and decency. He has enough of those two qualities to share with a dozen people who need them. Oh, here she comes.
I think Claire likes Chet.
Yes, but it's not what he feels for her by a long shot.
Usually a woman can tell when a man's fallen in love with her. Claire hasn't yet.
Oh, she will.
And then what will she do?
Well, there it is. Well, here's where we get the real lowdown.
Now, don't overwhelm him with questions, Bob. Let him do the talking.
There he is. Come on, Betty.
Bob, dear, don't run.
I should think you'd be glad that I can run. Oh. Hello, Chief.
Hello, Bob.
Chief.
How are you?
Hello, Betty. Say, I'm really glad to see you.
Well, we're tickled to see you. Where's your bag?
I didn't bring any. I figured I'm going back today.
Well, now, that's a fine visit.
Yes, we thought you'd stay overnight, at least.
No, I just came to get something off my chest, and I'd like to get right back.
All right, Chief. My car's right over here.
Was it a pleasant trip?
I had so much thinking to do, it seemed like rather a short trip.
Oh.
I was kind of surprised when the conductor called out Walton.
Well, you seem pretty angry about something.
I am.
I don't mind telling you, the chief, that a telegram of yours caused quite a stir around our house.
I suppose you did a lot of speculating about it.
Yes, we did.
And your speculating was probably right.
Here we are. Sit all up in front.
Right.
Plenty of room.
Well,
come on.
All right.
There. Comfortable?
Sure.
Doing so much thinking, I don't suppose you had much of a chance to look around and see the countryside.
There goes Betty with her country talk again. She wants to reform all us city folks into farmers.
Oh, Bob.
How about it, Chief? Can you visualize yourself poking around a potato patch with a hoe?
Sounds like a good idea.
Well, now, there you are, you see.
Yeah, it is pretty country around here, isn't it? You know, I had 5 more years to go before I was retired on a pension. And I figured on getting myself a place in the country and spending all my time there with Katie.
Mm.
Now that the youngsters are grown up and are on their own. Yeah, it's a nice country, all right.
Well, maybe this afternoon we'll look around and find a place you'll like.
Nope, I couldn't afford it now. Sending the youngsters through college and Katie's illness has left me kind of low.
Chief Henderson.
Yes, Bob?
Why did you resign?
That's what I'm still asking myself.
They didn't have anything on you?
No. There's nothing anybody can have on me.
Well, then why?
You can blame it on my temper.
Oh, there you are. You always had a bad one.
They worked me in the right way, and I didn't know it until it was all over.
Who worked you? What did they do?
The city council. All of a sudden, there was a lot of petty crimes all over the city. They got me on the carpet for it. Said my policemen weren't well-trained and their behavior was suspicious.
No.
Kept after me all the time. But one day, I finally got so mad, I said if they didn't like it, I quit.
Oh.
Well, they took me up on it. I was mad, and I handed in my resignation.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You've got a great record.
Yeah, but I did it. And the morning after, I woke up and realized that I'd done exactly what they wanted me to do.
In other words, you're helping the Trumpet clean up that crooked gambling racket, put you in disfavor with the big shots, whoever they are.
Yeah, whoever they are. They made me quit. Made city manager Kellogg quit. And they got this new fellow Jameson coming in. I met him last night. Him and his daughter.
Chief, what's this Jameson like?
A stuffed shirt with the jitters. If he's a city manager, I'm... Well, I'm a chief of police.
Oh, no. No, he can't be that good.
And I'm sure he hasn't got his temper anyway. He looks too scared for that.
Scared, huh?
Yeah, scared. Well, that's just what I came to tell you. Bob, I never knew there was so much rottenness and corruption in Monroe until you and Betty and the trumpet began to dig it up and try to get rid of it. When Alan Bishop got killed and we rounded up his gang, that seemed like the job was done. Mm. But now, the way things are happening, the job isn't half done. Maybe not one-tenth done. The only way I can put it is this, that when you folks left Monroe, it was a signal for crime and corruption to move right back in.
What a challenge to Bob, and to Betty, too. Can Betty possibly keep Bob to their agreement to sell the trumpet and settle down in the country for at least a year? Remember, in spite of Bob's protestations, he is still far from a well man. Yet, will Betty herself want to keep Bob to their agreement now? This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.